As I mentioned a couple of times, I'm going through the Bible again, just for my own reading. I'm way behind because I can't just keep stopping and making notes and comparing, and so I'm behind. I'm in Exodus, and again, I got to Exodus 14 and 15 and 16, and so now think of this. The Israelites are in the wilderness, actually in Egypt. They're under slavery. They're crying out to the Lord for help. They don't really know him, but they're crying out for help. And what does the Lord say? I've heard their voice. Their voice has come up to me. And so I've come to save them. And so Moses, come and see the burning bush. And Moses gets the plan, and of course he's scared. And he goes and he does all these things, and the plagues come, and the Passover comes, which is really important. And then they go out with plunder. The Egyptians give them everything they need, gold and silver. And it says several times that they plundered the Egyptians. Only within a couple weeks, a month at most, that they come to chapter 15, to the bitter water. And what did they do? They start complaining. Actually, that's the bitter water in 15. There was no water in 14. There was no water in 14. And they said, did you bring us out? There was not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? And then bitter water in chapter 15, and then there's no bread in chapter 16, and there's no meat in chapter 16, and all the time, they didn't remember the plagues. They didn't remember the miracles. They didn't remember that they were in a little place called Goshen. When it was light where they were, and it was darkness everywhere else, there was hail everywhere else and no hail where they were, and no gnats and no frogs and no death. They didn't remember. They forgot? Didn't the husband of the families or the grandpas of the families say, wait a minute now, calm down. God's got to have a plan. I mean, if he did this, he's got a plan for water, so let's go just ask Moses. Let's not go grumble. Let's not start crying out to Moses, save us. How about asking Moses what the plan is? It's really interesting also that God never rebuked them in those three chapters. You never notice that? He doesn't rebuke them. They cry out, they grumble, they complain, which is sin. And the Lord is understanding and he's patient. And Moses goes to the Lord, and at some point Moses is getting a little anxious too. And they're going to kill me. And God says, go do this and go do that and go do that. And everything's taken care of, right? They didn't remember from one day to the next. From at least one week to the next, when they were coming out of Egypt, when they had no help, and they were going to die under the hand of slavery, and they cried out to the Lord, and he heard them. You would say, well, we would remember, wouldn't we? Like, I would remember, and I would put on the praise songs and just dance every day and get people dancing or singing or something. Pass me a cricket. We'll eat a cricket. I don't know. But we're not in slavery anymore. I'm not dying underneath the burden of clay without straw, by the way. Mud without straw. Let's come to us. We win a prize. We we win an award at work. You get really good school grades. You're the winning team. And all of a sudden, you're standing on the podium and you start crying. I'm all sweaty. I need a shower. There's something. Doesn't make any sense that a winner would start crying. Now, hear me. If you hear that grandma's passing away, or if you hear those things that are sad, and yes, we cry. The Lord says, Paul says, we mourn with those who mourn. But in general, are we walking around through our life like we're losers and not winners? I stand on a platform with my gold or silver or bronze medal and I start crying. It doesn't make any sense. You get promoted. The next hour or so, you rip your boss asunder because you don't like him. The coffee's bad in the office or whatever it is. I know some of this stuff's ridiculous. I get it. But see, what happens is we start to get sick, or we start losing people, or things do happen. There are earthquakes, and there are these things. And so what we do begin to happen is say, grumble, grumble, grumble. This is not what I call, you know, I signed up for. Paul, after all that he's talked to the church, he's going to rapid fire. It's almost like the Ten Commandments, almost, but it's not like thou shalt not. It's thou shalt do. And he's going to rapid fire with some really good stuff that's going to help us in our walk. And so we've seen a couple of those things before, but here's just a couple real quick, two words, you know, the shortest verse in the book, at least. Rejoice always. Well, certainly you don't mean always. I mean, we don't walk around with a grin on our face all the time, for crying out loud. Do we? No. But when you have been saved from death, when you've been saved from all that junk that you did, and I know you did it. I don't know what you did. We should smile now. You know I did a bunch of junk. You don't know what I did, but you know I did a bunch of junk. And I've been saved from that, and so have you. We sang from east to west. That's gathering people together. But the Lord says, I remember your sins no more. I throw them as far as the east is from the west. He chooses to not remember those against you. Paul says, forgetting what is behind, we press on. But do we forget, really? And so that kind of hinders us from rejoicing sometimes. He reached down and delivered us from the mud of our life and the death and the darkness and the sadness. And he enabled you to find God. He did it. I want to remind you and just love John chapter 1. And so remember, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then he gets down to chapter 40. And the one of the two who heard John, so John the Baptist's disciples, Andrew and Simon, they heard him speak and they followed Jesus when they saw him. And so John had portrayed Jesus, who he was, and pointed them to Jesus. And so Andrew and Simon is following, and he first found Andrew. So Andrew, after this, he in chapter 1, verse 40, he first found his own brother Simon, Peter, and said to him, we have found the Messiah. And I love that, because don't we do that? Like, we found the Messiah. Look what we found. It's like that treasure. You know, we found the Messiah, which means the Christ. And so he brought Simon to Jesus, and that's the right thing to do. But here's the question. Did he find Jesus, or did Jesus find him? Did Jesus come to heaven for him? He could have went anywhere. He went to that place, and he went to John, and he went to Andrew, and he went to Simon first. So it's good that we find treasure, and we rejoice. But I want you to think about this. He came for me. He came for you. You didn't know who he was. You had no clue. There's none that seek righteousness. No, not one. Not one. He came for you. If you know him, you have every reason in the world to rejoice and sing. And wow, I don't know why he came and got me. He came and found me, that one lost sheep. And by the way, when 99, you know, and he goes and gets the last sheep, the one sheep, and when one is saved, all the angels are rejoicing. I told you about that. There's a party in heaven. Remember that party for the shepherds? They didn't go to the king. They didn't go to others. They went to the shepherds. That's you. And we should, wow, there's a party in heaven. So he came. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning he was with God, and all things were made through him. And there was not anything that was made that was not made by him. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. It came and shined on the men, and it shined in the darkness of our lives and our world. He shined. He could have said, "Yeah, Father, I really don't want to go down there and wear diapers and swaddling clothes and lay in a manger and go through this." So, verse 6, there was a man sent from God. From who? God sent a man. His name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness to the light, and he came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to every man. There's the light again. And that light was what? Coming into the world. He came. You're in Egypt, and you're dying under the burden that you have, and God comes to you because he heard the cry of your heart. You did not know who you were crying for or who you needed, and he shined the light, and you said, what? Thank you. You said, I believe. He came to his own did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in him, he then again gave a gift. Gave you the right to become children of God. Who's the giver here? Who's the finder? Who's doing the work? This is God the Father through his Son Jesus. The Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Son, the Father, full of grace and truth. The next day, John saw Jesus coming. There's Jesus coming again. And he's coming toward him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So he's taking away the sins. He came and he took away the sins. He's doing the work. This is he of whom I said, after me comes. There's the word again. A man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself didn't know him. John the Baptist didn't have the answers. He didn't know him, but for this purpose, John says, I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, remained on him. I myself, he says, I did not know him. He says it again, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came with Jesus and he remained on him. And then guess what? When you believe what happened, the Holy Spirit came and what? Came and left? He remained on you. Who has the greatest treasure on the planet? Who has life eternal? Who has everything they need, Peter says, for life and godliness? Who has that? And take your fist and point yourself in the nose. Me. Me. This has been given to me. I will tell the world that I'm a Christian. Do we do that? We'll walk around and go, I'm not pointing my finger at myself. Well, we point at him. He came into darkness and gave me. Amen. And so John bore witness. We should bear witness. I was lost, and now I'm found, the song goes. Rejoice always, Paul says. I don't feel like it today. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? And by the way, you have seen Jesus. Paul says that. He's been clearly illustrated to you. You don't know what he looks like. Brown hair, he doesn't have blue eyes. You haven't seen him, but you've seen him illustrated. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you not know that you've seen the Father, just not with your physical eyes? You know him. You know him intimately. He lives within you. He's revealed himself to you. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, I'm at least to one to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship, he says. Then he says, watch, he's saying, I won. That's what he's saying. I won. Am I not free? I won. But here's the problem with us anyway. He lacks. Because in that context, and he'll say this elsewhere, he'll say, in this world we groan, right? Not murmur. We don't murmur against God. But he says, in this world we groan. All creation groans, and us mostly, you know, we groan because we know what's coming, okay? But he goes on in this context. I have all these things. And then he says, this is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the right to eat or drink? No, wait a minute, Paul. You don't eat or drink? Well, yeah, I mean, I get along. He definitely doesn't get drunk, but he gets along. But he's saying here, I don't get to eat or drink as much as most people. He says, don't I have a right to take along a believing wife? He has no wife. Or does only Barnabas or and I refrain from working for a living? He has to work. So he's working in the gospel. He's doing all that work. And then he has to go out and find a job. And remember, the Bible says, does the ox get to feed when it's working? Yes. So they're supposed to be supporting Paul, but Paul and Barnabas has to work along the way. They're going into Gentile, you know, areas, and the Gentiles don't understand this. So Paul's saying, I have to do this. I have to pick up this burden. He says, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Paul is not grumbling. He's stating the facts. Here's the facts. I'm not living as good as I would like to be and doing the work, all the work of the gospel that I have to do. And by the way, he's on foot to Rome or wherever, the boat and donkeys. He's not partying, okay? Or who tends the flock without getting some of the milk? 1 Corinthians 4:12, we work hard with our own hands. When vilified, we bless. When we persecuted, we endure it. When we're slandered, we always answer gently. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. Now, is Paul murmuring? No. He's stating to them, This is my situation. What's yours? This is my situation. Because then he's going to say, but we rejoice. Paul's not a hypocrite. He's going to tell them, this is what I want you to do. Look at my life and see what I'm doing. Romans chapter 5. I thought I had Colossians there, but Romans chapter 5. God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from his wrath to come, he's saying, from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we're reconciled, now that we're friends, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, then there's where he's going with this, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So he's saying, more than anything, in this life of groaning and all the stuff, we rejoice. Now, I get it, because again, I've told you, I was a first sergeant in the Air Force, and people, you know, it takes some getting to know me a little bit, and I'm not, you know, I'm like stone face a lot. I get it. My wife says, "Are you listening to me?" And I'm thinking, I can't listen and look at the same time. My brain doesn't work that way. It's like, let me just finish this sentence, and then I'll look at you and smile. And it's not her fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's not even my fault. It's who I am. So I walk around the earth, and you don't look like you're rejoicing. And sometimes, a lot of times, I'm not rejoicing in my face, especially with my face. But in my heart, I'm so grateful, so thankful. I was sitting over there just a few minutes ago taking communion, and I was looking a little bit, and I said, what a joy it is to sit with people and do this with people who the rest of the world are going, what are they doing? You know, like the Caesar, you know, he said, what are they doing? They're eating the blood of their Savior, their, you know, the God they love. And we're going, we're not eating blood. We're remembering blood. We're remembering his body. Is our cup half full or half empty? Neither. It's totally full. It's totally full. You see, I've got these illnesses and these sicknesses and this, and I've got that debt, and I understand it. I get it. We have it. You know, everybody has it. Everybody has these things. I've had 5 back surgeries. I'm not going to go into the rest. I get it. And I'm talking to me right now as well. Am I going to rejoice, or am I going to complain about a half cup of water or milk or whatever? Am I going to complain about no treasures on earth, or am I going to rejoice that my treasures are laid up in heaven? Because my sight is not on this planet. Have you seen the earthquakes lately? Have we looked in the mirror lately? There's earthquakes on the fault lines are on my face. I got one about this long and on my back and all that other stuff. Jesus said, rejoice. And then he goes, well, that's not enough, because they're not going to get that. He said, be exceedingly glad. Is anybody exceedingly glad this morning? For great is your reward. Where? In heaven. Laid up for you in heaven. We said, I'd like to see it now, please. I want it now. Murmur, murmur, murmur. He says, they persecuted the prophets. They're going to persecute you. In this life, you're going to have tribulation. He said that. Jesus said that. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Well, can I have it now today, please? No, you can't. You have it in your heart. We have it in our mind. It's in our brain. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. We sing the songs all the time, rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, going back to youth group 70s, right? Jesus freak moment. Like, what are they singing for? Because first of all, we're told to. And secondly, you know, I know that I woke up on the bad side of the bed this morning. And what happened this morning? And what happened? But you know, in my heart, there sings a melody. Psalm 31:1, rejoice in the Lord always, O righteous. Befitting is the praise of the upright. Befitting. It is right for us to praise out loud. It's right. Take it up with God. Habakkuk 3:18, the fig tree may not blossom. The fruit vines will not give its fruit. The olive tree may fail. The fields will not produce the food. The flocks may be cut off and not produce the young. There's no herd in the stall. That's pretty brutal. And then he says, and yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice in who? The God of my salvation, Habakkuk says. This is after Habakkuk comes whining, by the way. Read Habakkuk. This is the time for Habakkuk, I'm telling you. We should go through just another study, just for drill again. Habakkuk comes out and he's crying, Lord, have you seen the violence here? Have you seen what's going on with my people? And the Lord comes down and says, yes, I've seen it. I've got an answer. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. They're horrible people. And then what does Habakkuk say? No, no, not those people. That's really bad. They're going to wipe us out. They're going to take us slaves. Whatever. And so Habakkuk's murmuring again because he doesn't understand. And the Lord says, and then Habakkuk says, I will stand my post and watch the Lord. And the Lord comes down and shows him what he's going to do. And what is Habakkuk doing in chapter 3 at the end of the book? What is he doing? He's singing. You know, in all the psalms, all the song and exhortation is up front, to the Lord I will sing and all this other stuff. Or there's problems and then, you know, it gets better. But in Habakkuk, he comes out crying, and by the end of Habakkuk, he's singing. He's singing. It's bad news. It's bad news. And he's singing. It's good news. It's good news. You got to pour the blood out to get to salvation. You got to crack an egg to make an omelet. You got to do the bad to get to the good. You got to make war before you make peace. Isaiah 65, my servants will shout for joy with glad heart. But then he's talked to the world, but you will cry out with a heavy heart and wail with a broken spirit. My servants will cry out with joy. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to sing, I pray that when you come in here on Sunday morning and we sing, that's why we're doing it. We're doing it together, and it's something we do, and it's liturgical. What we're doing is we're coming together as a church, and we're lifting our voices, we're lifting our hearts. Right, praise team? We're leading people to worship God, to praise Him with our mouth, because that's faith. That's when you can say something with your mouth, that's true faith. When you can say it in a closet, that's true, really true faith. Praise you, Jesus. I'm not feeling good today. Did you know my friend is passing away or sick? Or did you know that we haven't been able to pay the bill, or this is not working, or I'm not. Did you know that? You're in your closet. You're in that little place in the wilderness. You're in the place in the wilderness. And yet, what did God say? I am your very great shield and very great reward. So how do we do this? How do we muster? That's what you do. You muster. You muster yourself. I'm going to praise him today. I'm not going to denounce him. And in fact, I'm not just going to not talk about him. I'm going to talk about him. I'm not going to be able to do it to everybody all the time. I understand this. But the Bible says rejoice always. Amen. Always. You make a beautiful noise. I told you, I'd throw a party. I think there was a party yesterday. I think the guys, you know, listen, all the guys missed out. Except Guy Stone. I mean, I think he's in the middle of it all the time. The ladies had a gathering, though. Come over. And my wife walked out with a little hat, gloves. They had a party. How come Christians don't have Christian birthday parties? When you were born again. Do you have a date written down? You ask the Lord. I get jealous of the ones, my friends. I have one friend, he says, I don't know the day I was saved. I don't know the day I was born again. I've always been born again. He was like what, one or two or three or something. I don't know. Most of us have dates. I remember. Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and praises. Is that hyperbole? Is this like we're not supposed to do this? When he tells you, rejoice always. When he commands you to sing a joyful song, the question is, do you do it? And if you answer, well, I don't do it in front of other people, that's okay. Can't carry a tune in a bucket. And the bucket I do have has holes in it, you know. I get it. Do it anyway. Put a CD in. Go drive around the block. Psalm 66:8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let sound of his praises be heard. If we don't do that, he will cause the stones to cry out. He's literally talking that he will do that. He didn't have to, because he has thus to do this. Psalm 81:1, sing for joy to God, our strength, make joyful noise to God. Isaiah 44:23, sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, O depths of the earth, bring forth in song. If you call up your friend and say, I don't sing very well, or I can't do this by myself, come over here, we'll put a CD on and we'll sing. We'll pull out a hymnal. Some of you play piano or whatever. Bang a drum. Colossians 1:10-12. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing good fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. When you increase in the knowledge of God, watch what happens. You're strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And we say, well, I'm not Paul. Okay, then Paul is a liar, because he's telling us to do the same thing. He's saying, rejoice always. Well, that's not me. Make it you. And find out how to do it. Get yourself out of that mud puddle. And go set a psalm before you and read it out loud. Read a psalm out loud. And then he says, which actually just follows up there with Colossians, that Colossians 1, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Okay, he's saying pray always. Oh man, this is a lot of work. Is it a lot of work? Walk in the Spirit, be ye being filled. That means you're always filled with the Spirit. I don't feel that way, do you? But be ye. No, and we do that by knowing God. We do that by knowing the Word. I know what he said. And see, that again goes back. to what the Israelites were not doing. What was the problem with the Israelites? They forgot. They forgot that the angel of death just passed over them. They forgot that he just divided the sea and killed all the enemy. I don't know how they could forget, but then I have to look in the mirror and say, hey, Raymond, how'd you forget? How did you forget what he just did yesterday? Every occasion. Pray without ceasing. And then, Philippians 4, 6-7, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you're not going to get it, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And you say, no, I'm comfortable in my murmuring. I'm comfortable in the wilderness. I don't want to do this. And he's saying, listen, if you do this, and the more that you do that, you're going to get out of that mud puddle. You're going to get out of that sense of woe is me. You will get out of it. Remember what he did. Remember what he's doing. What is he doing? I went away to prepare a place for you. So that's the communion this morning. He's preparing a place for you. Your own little place. I hope it's next to mom and dad, right? I hope it's next to grandpa or grandma. That's fine, whatever. We'll see what the Lord has. But it's for you. Got your name on the doorpost. He's gonna put your name on the pillars there. He's gonna give you a name that only you and he knows. When they came out during the Passover. The blood was like painted. You're supposed to paint it like the cross. Paint it on top of the thresh of the sill there. I mean, you know, the top part, and then on the sill on the sides. You paint that with blood, basically. And that then the angel passes over. That's why it's called Passover. And then you live. And then the next one is the first fruits. Okay, so you live. He didn't kill you. Then the first fruits is when you see the first fruits of the grain, or you see the first fruits of the food there, you know more is to come. So when Jesus raised from the dead, he was the first fruits, and we know, well, okay, he raised from the dead, he's gonna bring us. In the spring, you see a little bit of first fruits, you wave that to the Lord, and you know there's more coming. You say, Lord, I'm doing what you said. You love me. There's more coming. And then the Pentecost is the middle of the harvest there, the end of the barley harvest, and the beginning of the great harvest of the wheat harvest. And then the trumpets come in from all your work. Trumpets, come on in. Let's come on. Get ready to rejoice. Come on in. But first, I want you to remember the atonement. Remember his atonement. You know, remember your sins and what he saved you from, but then remember what Nehemiah and Ezra said. Okay, now enough crying. Rejoice. Blow the horns and sing. And then the last one, the Feast of Booths. Come, let's rejoice and live together. Eat and feast. All of those feasts, the seven prominent feasts, are for them to remember what God did and what he's going to do. And at some point, we just have, I hear some people say, we keep the feast. And if you keep them, don't keep them in, you know, because the law says, keep them to remember. This reminds me of what God did in the wilderness for them. This reminds me of what God is doing for me right now. This is reminding me that it's all going to end, and we're going to see Jesus face to face in the future. When you're doing that, how can you not rejoice? How can you not lift your voice and sing and give thanks? Give thanks in all circumstances. So rejoice always, pray always, give thanks always. And I want to remind you that the biggest thing that happened with Israel is they forgot what he did, so then they didn't thank him for what he did. They didn't give thanks. Romans chapter 1. That's Romans chapter 1. They failed to give thanks to the Father, so he turned them over to a reprobate mind. That's basically what it is all about there. We're to remember so that we can rejoice, that we can sing, that we can thank him and praise him. And then finally, do not quench the spirit. Now there's two reasons to quench the spirit. Two ways you can quench this, prominent ways, I should say. Okay? Let's just look at one. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up in one need, and up the one in need, and bringing grace to those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit in whom you have were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and outcry, and slander. There's the Israelite slander, along with every form of malice. So the first thing is don't sin. Because if we don't sin, then we'll be pleasing him, okay? We will be pleasing him. Then the next thing is to remember what he did and give him praise and thanks. Okay? Now there's a third way. We're going to get to that next week. There's a third wonderful way. But the first thing is to remember what he did. And if you don't, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because you're not going to be rejoicing, you're not going to be praying, and you're not going to be thanking him. So I've mentioned this before. Do you have a journal? I told you I started like 5 of them. I haven't finished them. Just like start, stop, start, stop. Do you write stuff down? You put things down? Jesus himself says this. Luke 21, 33, 36. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. Now the opposite of rejoicing is that your hearts are weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And that day come upon you like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So the point is, remember. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's doing. Remember what's ahead. Pray when you have a problem. Pray for every occasion. Rejoice always. And thank him for what he's done and what he's doing. Because we're headed for a great place. And we do together. Lord, thank you so much for the voices here in this room. This small room on this big planet. They're worshiping you and they're praising you, and we remember this day what you've done. We remember this day what you did in the Old Testament, but even more so, we know intimately what you did in our hearts, in our lives. You saved us, you saved our souls. So, Lord, in those times when we don't feel like it, help us to remind ourselves, Lord. And we will rejoice, we will lift up our voices, we will thank you. We will pray and ask for help, and we'll comfort others in doing the same thing. We worship you for the opportunity to love you and praise you and follow you into the future and kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen.